You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Viva Illa Papa, the People's Pope. Live, direct from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for Listen Up. Jesus is on the air. Hi, everyone. Welcome, and thank you so much for listening. Our co-host today will be Brother Paul Miller. Brother Miller, are you on? Hi, Brother Miller. Brother Miller, are you on? Was that Brother Miller, Trev?
I'm here, Tony.
Hi, Brother Miller. Welcome. Sorry.
This is Chris.
Oh, this is Chris. Okay.
Yes.
No, but it's also Paul. I'm here.
Brother Miller's here, too? Hi, Brother Miller. Okay, Chris. Welcome, Chris. Welcome, Brother Miller. And today's show is going to feature Chris by Brother Miller. So, Brother Miller, welcome so much, and thank you so much for being a co-host on the show. And the guest that you recommended is Chris. I spoke to him just a little before the show and very impressed. Well, why don't we let you introduce Chris?
Okay, thank you. And it's a pleasure to be back on the air with you, Tony.
Pleasure to have you, babe.
And my best wishes and prayers for John.
Yes.
For CD recovery, so I can take a day off.
Okay. By the way, while I have you here, could you lead the prayer, the opening prayer for John's recovery?
Okay. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, we ask your special blessing upon our dear friend, John Palmer, who is in need of your help, your assistance, and your grace. We ask you to bless him abundantly and give him the strength to be able to carry on carrying the word of Jesus throughout the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. By the way, for those listeners, those few listeners that don't really know about Brother Paul Miller, he's a healer. He has a healing ministry. He does soup kitchens. He feeds thousands of people. He does clothing drives in a warehouse to the poor and the needy. If you go to his warehouse, I understand it looks like Macy's department store with coats that he gives out free. And so he's just, and he's also a spiritual son of Maria Bonanza. And he's going to be in Garden City this Tuesday night, September 29th, from 7 to 9 at St. Anne's Church at 35 Dahmont Street in Garden City. So all the parishioners, all the people from the diocese, come on down. It's going to be a great night, and it's going to be a lot of praying over. Right, Dr. Paul?
Yes, and thank you for the plug.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
It's well worth it, believe me.
We love to come to Long Island because I'm originally a Long Island boy, so it's always fun for me to come. Today I think we have a special guest with us, Christopher Ganton, otherwise known as Chris Ganton. Uh-huh. Chris has a wonderful story and something that will touch people throughout the whole listening audience. So, Chris, why don't you give us a little background and tell people how it is we came to meet?
I met Brother Paul through my wife and my good friends, Melissa and Vince Lucani. We all live in New Jersey, and Melissa was a very close friend of my wife's, and still is, and mine now, of course. And so Melissa and Vince used to host these evenings where Brother Paul would come and talk and have a healing blessing at at their house where he would bless multiple people. I think it started out quite small and wound up with hundreds of people showing up just at a house in the suburbs in New Jersey. And it was my wife, Julianne, was a Catholic and very devout woman, and she really wanted me to meet Brother Paul and be blessed by him. But I did not believe. I was an atheist. And although I loved my wife and I respected her faith in God, I didn't share in it. And I wasn't very supportive of it either. So when she, when she asked me to go to Melissa's house and be blessed by Brother Paul, she asked many times, and she deputized Melissa and our friend Anna and everybody. You know, a lot of people tried to get me in front of Paul for a blessing, because at the time, just a little background about me. I was a an ad agency executive and a creative director, and I was in the middle of what I like to call my workaholic years. I was focusing on my career and the master of my own destiny, and focused on money. Trying to make myself financially successful. And then I became very ill. And at first it just seemed like a cold, but it as it progressed and I, started to, I've started to go into weeks of fever and stiffness and joint pain. It became kind of obvious that I needed to see doctors and try and figure out what was wrong with me. And it was around that time, as my illness had sort of progressed, and it was obvious to everybody who knew me that that everybody wanted to see me blessed by Brother Paul. And the harder they pushed, the harder I pushed back. I wanted no part of it. So it was, my wife would try all kinds. She's a very, my father nicknamed my wife the Velvet Hammer. She's somebody who can get you to do something,
Can I borrow yeah. Julianne's velvet? Because I think my wife uses just a regular hammer.
That's right. So, one day I was heading off to my office, feeling really, really rotten. My illness was in pretty full swing, and Julianne stopped me at the front door as I was leaving, and she gave me a hug goodbye, which was what was sort of our morning routine, And at that point, she said to me, "Brother Paul's going to be at Melissa's house tonight. Would you go over and get a blessing?" And I reacted very, very poorly. I was angry. I said, "I thought we talked about this. I want no part of this." And so she was sad, and I behaved, very, very badly. And I kind of stormed off, and she would stand on the porch and wave goodbye and blow me kisses every morning. And I didn't even look back or wave. I was, really, really, I acted very childishly. And I drove off to my office, and I went up into the office. And when I got there, the phone in my office was ringing, and I picked up the phone, and it was my father calling me from California, and he said to me something that really kind of resonated with me. He said, I've been thinking about your illness, he said, and it occurs to me that you're not the only person suffering from this, from your illness. And, you know, at first I didn't quite understand. I thought maybe he was talking about there are other people that have exactly what I have. But what he was really saying was that Julianne, my wife, was suffering from it, that my brothers, who were also my business partners, along with my father, that they were suffering from it. Even my employees, my children, Margot and Harry, were suffering from it. So, when he said that to me, I immediately thought about the way I reacted with Julianne, and I said to myself, you know, this isn't terribly fair. If she feels like this could help our situation, and she's suffering from it, as you know, the same way I am, how can I say no? So I reluctantly picked up the phone and called her and said, okay, I'll see Brother Paul tonight. But I had a long list of things. I don't want to stay for any services or, so that's how I wound up going. But of course, once I met Brother Paul and was blessed by him, I think the story gets a lot more interesting.
Chris, I have to tell you, I always say this show is led by the Holy Spirit. And I'm convinced it is. I was led to the first song of the show by Angela. That's Angela sings, and it's called Don't Save Me. And as you were talking, Chris, that song is hitting me in the face. I'm so anxious to play it. Can we take a break? Can we play the song, Don't Save Me?
Oh,
because
please, yeah.
The
That'd
Holy
be wonderful.
Spirit has led us to it, and this is so apropos. Thank you. That's Trevor right up there putting it on. Don't Save Me by Angela. Okay, thank you.
So,
thank
Tony,
you, Chris.
I'm gonna take over the story here. I'm gonna rest it away from Chris because
okay.
I want to set up what happened.
Go ahead.
I got a call that afternoon from my assistant on, and she said, "You're never gonna guess, but Chris Genton wants to come for a blessing. He's not willing to meet you like at the service." So my first thought was, "Oh God, this guy, he's a piece of work. He doesn't want a blessing. Now he wants to tell me how I have to do it." And I sort of laughed to myself. And then so finally we agreed we were going to do it like an hour or so before I was supposed to do the service. So I get to Melissa's house, Chris's wife's friend, Melissa, and now, of course, my friend. And we have it all set up. So Chris comes, and I think he... Chris, were you using a cane at that time or a walker? I don't remember.
I think maybe one or even possibly... I may have been using two canes at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway,
yeah.
So Chris is a very big man. He's very tall and very broad. And so he comes, and if this were television, you'd realize that I'm not a very tall man. But he walks into the house. He's this behemoth guy. He comes in. He sits down in this wingback chair. So I know already that he doesn't really want anything to do with God, and that basically he's doing this to just for his wife's sake, not for his own sake. So I made a conscious decision. I wasn't going to talk about God. I wasn't going to talk about healing. I was just going to shoot the breeze. And I knew something about him. So we started talking about three things, basically. We talked about cigars, because Chris loves cigars and used to be on the tasting panel for Cigar Aficionado. We talked about scotch, which is one of his favorite drinks, and I had written a great deal about scotch when I had my magazine, restaurant magazine. And finally, we talked about jazz, because we both share an interest in music. So we spoke for about 15 minutes. But nothing about God. And so I said, okay, well, what do you want? And he said, well, I'd like you to pray over me. But before you do, I'd like it if you could pray over Olivia, was the name of Melissa's daughter. She, at that time, she was probably, I would guess, 10 years old or something like that.
Really brave guy, huh?
A real act of faith, right?
That's right.
Anyway, so I had prayed over Olivia many times, and never once had she rested in the spirit, meaning, you know, fallen to the ground, right? So I wasn't really worried about that. And so Melissa consented to do it. So Olivia came in, and I put my hands on her, and sure enough, as soon as I touched her, she fell. And she fell right at Chris's feet. And I sort of laughed. I thought to myself, God has a real sense of humor here. This guy is never going to get blessed now that he sees this kid that fell on the floor right in front of him. I just was sort of so amused. And so then eventually she got up, and he said, okay, I'm ready. And so I walked behind him because he was too big to catch. I mean, the only one who could have caught him was Melissa, and she certainly wasn't strong enough. So I had him stay in the chair, and I walked behind him, and I placed my hands on his shoulders, so I was standing behind him. And I'll let Chris take over the story from there.
Well, I was certainly pretty nervous, and you know, having seen Olivia rest in the spirit, I didn't understand that at all, and you know, it looked obviously very genuine to me. And I guess I was sort of sitting there saying, what have I gotten myself into? So when he walked behind me and put his hands on my shoulders while I was sitting in the chair, he said to me, you know, try not to think about anything. Try and, you know, just clear your mind, which, needless to say, was a little difficult. But I tried my best to genuinely do that, but I think God really took over at that point, because when he put his hands on my shoulders and started to bless me, I heard my breath. I heard myself breathing as you would normally be able to hear if you were concentrating. And then I heard Brother Paul breathing. And there was no one else really close to us at the time. And I started to hear a third breath. And at first it was about as strong a sound as Brother Paul's was standing right behind me. But then it increased and became louder. And it started to, the breath started to have a whoosh kind of quality. And I started to feel it not go over me, but actually it felt as if the breath was going through me. Not from the front to the back, but more from the top of my head down. And as somebody who, you know, was an atheist, not only did I not accept Christ, but I didn't believe that there was God or any kind of higher power. For somebody who has taken that position in his life, it really kind of freaked me out, for lack of a better word. And so when the blessing was finished and he removed his hands...
Wait a minute, I have to interrupt you, Chris, because...
Oh, sure.
There's something funny that Chris told me before, Tony.
Yes.
He said to me, you know, when I kept hearing the breath getting louder and louder, I was looking around for the speaker.
Yeah, I was saying, how did he do that? You know, this really isn't cool. You know, how's he doing this? You know, there's got to be some explanation. And then, you know, I started to think, well, I mean, even if, you know, for some diabolical reason he had speakers in the chair or something, how could that explain the breath moving through me? Which it couldn't. So here I am, somebody who'd been rather outspoken about the fact that God doesn't exist and that we have to be the masters of our own destiny and all this stuff. And now all of a sudden, you know, God has put himself in front of me in a very powerful way. So, and it's funny because years later, as I was talking to Brother Paul about this, he said to me once, which I tell people often, he said, some people God needs, you know, some people have great amount of faith, like my wife, Julianne, and they just need to be nudged a little bit. You know, God just needs to nudge them a little bit. And he said, some people need a little more than that. And then he said, of course, then there are the people who need the 2x4 that's been soaked in oil, and God needs to smack them across the eyebrow. <with it. laughs> So I'm that guy.
You know, you're St. Paul. Isn't that what he did to St. Paul? Knocked
exactly.
him off his horse, and he was about the same level of belief you were, I think. And so I'm a student to St. Paul, so I right away I'm tying you in with St. Paul.
Yes, well, I count that as a compliment, but
it
I
is.
Think that there's no denying that there's that I was sort of coming from the same place that St. Paul was. And when I read Gospels, readings by St. Paul, it always kind of resonates with me, even in a humorous way.
Right.
Yeah. So from there, I got up. All of my non-belief and other things were standing. I like to think of myself as somebody who was raised well and has good manners and what have you. But after the blessing, I kind of believe, and Brother Paul could confirm or deny this, that I just kind of got up and said goodbye and walked out. you know.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, because okay. I just didn't really know what to make of it.
But there's more to this story, I bet.
There was no post-blessing discussion.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So when I left, and believe me, I was using two canes, and I walked pretty deliberately slowly, my wife trailing behind me, you know, running to keep up. When we got home, we didn't discuss it. As a matter of fact, I went back to my office after that. And then when I came home, I really didn't broach the subject, and nor did Julianne. For about 4 days, we really didn't talk about it at all. She, I'm sure, was dying to ask me about it. And I was grappling with, how do I, somebody who's taken such a position in my life, make a complete and total U-turn and head in the other direction? And, you know, of course, pride was involved and all kinds of other emotions in me, not the least of which was the fact that I seriously... The more I thought about it, the more I believed that God had actually reached out to me. That was something that was pretty difficult for me to wrap my head around. But I think it was the morning of day 4 when my wife woke up and I hadn't been sleeping. I'd been having trouble sleeping because of pain and my illness at the time. Anyway. But my wife opened her eyes, and I was, you know, sort of staring at her, waiting for her to wake up. And she said to me, "What's going on?" And I tried my best to act casually, and I said to her, "By the way, when Brother Paul blesses you, do you feel anything?" And, of course, she sat bolt upright and said to me, "Well, not really, but why? Did you?" I, again, trying to seem calm and casual, I said to her, "Well, I want to tell you something, but you got to promise you won't say a word to anybody about it." And she, of course, agreed, okay, I won't say anything to anybody. And I told her everything. You know, I told her about the breath and about the way I felt it. And she immediately snatched up the phone and called her friend Melissa. After saying, you know, I won't speak a word of this to anybody. She picks up the phone and calls Melissa right away and tells her, and the cat was out of the bag.
Tony, you have no idea how fast it spread. I was in California.
I can imagine.
By that afternoon, I got a call, and here I am in California from Ani saying to me, "You're never going to guess what happened."
Oh, I can imagine. It's so beautiful.
It was just amazing, you know, you know, one of the things that I think was kind of interesting about my spiritual healing was I felt God tremendously in my life, you know, instantaneously. You know, it wasn't as if after the blessing I had a very slow progression from a place of non-belief to a place of believing. It was like a light switch was flipped with me.
I listen, Chris, I know what you're going to say, because once you say yes to Jesus, and I believe you said yes to Jesus, fasten your seatbelt, baby, because you're going for a wonderful, great ride. That love is growing deeper and deeper every day. Isn't that right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's opened so many doors in my life and made so many so many things possible for me.
I can imagine. I you know what? Can I play another song? Would Brother Paul and Chris, would you mind if I play another spiritful song?
Not at all.
It's called Love After All. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit selected these songs. I guarantee it. Because that's what's happening to you, baby.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me.
Actually, I really wanted to play the song Love After All, but the Holy Spirit decided that we would play Let It Be. But Let It Be was just as good and fit in very well.
Let me get a plug in here.
Go ahead.
Angela, for those of you, the listeners who are enjoying Angela's music, she will be with me on Tuesday night.
Oh, wonderful.
St. Anne. Oh. She's going to sing some of her recorded album.
Oh.
And she's also giving up her birthday, with her family to be there to serve our Lord. So just a little plug for her.
Oh, wonderful. I have to go over to her, thank her for being on the show, and
okay.
Tell her how impressed we are. And I apologize for getting her name wrong, too.
That's okay.
Her music is just amazing. I mean, she has the voice of an angel, and she also happens to have one of the most beautiful, she's one of the most beautiful examples of faith that I've ever met.
Absolutely.
She's just an incredible person, and I highly recommend to anybody in your listening audience to pick up at least one of her CDs. Her music is on in our house all the time, and it always makes us all smile and feel a little closer to God.
And also, all you that are going to be at this conference on Tuesday night, and I know it's going to be full. The house is going to be full. Go over to Angela and tell her you heard her music on Listen Up. Jesus is on the air.
She'll love that, Tony. I'll tell you that.
Oh, great. I'm happy. Paul, I got one quick question. Not to deviate, I just want to clarify for the listeners about being slain in the spirit. Can you give any clarification on that or say anything that would give them some knowledge of being slain in the spirit?
Right. You know, basically, I don't think there's an official explanation, but I can tell you having less, you know, more than 100,000 people individually over the last 17, 18 years, that for some people, when they're being blessed, of course, when the person that has a charismatic healing gift prays over someone, the Holy Spirit comes from that person doing the praying to the person who's receiving the blessing. So it's an infusion of the Holy Spirit, if you will. For certain people, that may result in nothing, not really feeling anything, but that doesn't mean the spirit isn't there, all right? For some people, they experience some sort of energy, they call it, or sometimes they see heat coming off the hands of the healer, or they see lights or things like that. That's very common. But for a certain number of people, the Holy Spirit takes over their bodies. And although their minds are completely alert, they lose balance and fall. And, you know, just like St. Paul, as you mentioned before, St. Paul was knocked to the ground. That was so that the Spirit could work the type of healing that they had in mind, that our Lord and the Holy Spirit and the Heavenly Father had in mind to bring to that person. And so it's very common, you know, that people do fall. You see it all the time. But not everyone falls. And it doesn't mean they didn't get the blessing that God intended. It just means that they had a different type of blessing. And it carries on like that, you know, for some people, like, so maybe 75% of the people will fall at certain times in certain places with certain people praying. Other times it could be very, very small percentage. But it, nevertheless, it's a mistake to think that if you don't fall, that you haven't received the blessing. And, you know, I can testify from my own personal perspective. You know, I've been blessed by everyone from the Pope on down, including many famous healing priests like Father McDonough, Maria Esperanza, you know, Monsignor Assaf. I mean, you name it, and I've been blessed by them, but I've never fallen myself. So it's not something that necessarily needs to happen. It doesn't. It's only whenever the Spirit calls for it to happen. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yes, it absolutely does.
That's the best I could do.
It's a great answer because I have had people come over to me and be concerned that being prayed over, they didn't fall. But right. I haven't, you know, it's just recently now that I'm starting to fall because I haven't fell. And I don't know how many times I was prayed over by so many healers
right.
and prayers. And now just recently I'm starting to fall. So it doesn't mean, it just means the the stage that you're at, I guess.
Or maybe in your case, Tony, you're getting old.
I'm getting old. Oh yes. And by the way, you're just falling. Yeah, and you do know I did fall down the stairs last week.
I know, that's so terrible. We're laughing.
And that's what it means. I'm getting old. I dislocated my shoulder. Yes, you're right, Paul. You're absolutely right. And those golden ages aren't that golden, let me tell you. But anyway, I wanted to, and that was a good clarification, because that was a concern that I hear so many times with prayovers. But when you pray over, they fall like, oh my God, one after another. I mean, I've seen your prayovers many, many times, and they fall like even Dr. John Palmer fell. Right? my good buddy. And he's listening, by the way. He was going to try to call in if he was feeling up to it. But listening, and he does know that this show does pray for him constantly. And we all pray for him constantly. And we love him daily. And he'll be back. He'll be back. There's no question in my mind.
Great.
Okay, so, Chris, where are we at with this love story with Jesus?
Well, and
this is what this is, by the way, Chris. I'm getting in my head. This is a love story with Jesus. Am I right or wrong?
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
I said in my head, I'm getting that this is a love story with Jesus.
Oh, absolutely, it is. God really has a sense of humor, because you know when I think back to the man I was. Before my spiritual conversion, whenever anything like being asked to call in today happens, or I have another sort of spiritual milestone, whether it was receiving my first Holy Communion or my confirmation or becoming a Eucharistic minister, or I always just kind of think back to that guy and laugh and say, boy, God really has a sense of humor. You know, not just to convert me, but to convert me in the way he has, you know, and to the degree that he has. So after the blessing, things from health-wise got much worse for me. But spiritually, I was on a tremendous high. I asked Julianne to buy me a rosary and teach me how to pray the rosary. My friend Melissa came over and taught me and Julianne and I a prayer that has, you know, become just a tremendous part of my life, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. She taught us that in our living room, and you know, my life, frankly, hasn't been the same since that day either. I wound up getting much sicker. I was in the hospital for 3 months, very, very ill. My wife endured a great deal of difficulty raising two children and trying her best never to leave my side. Because the doctors at one point told her I had 5 days to live.
Oh.
You know, so she really, she stayed by my side and never stopped believing in me and in God's ability to heal me. And she felt that there was more for me to do here. And so when doctors told her to take me home and make me comfortable, that I was gonna pass, she would not believe that and stayed and helped me to pray through it and fight through it. Brother Paul shared with me at one of my darkest moments, physically, although not spiritually, physically I was in a great deal of pain. And Brother Paul kept saying to me, if you can't pray the chaplet or you can't pray the rosary because you're just in too much pain, he said, just say, thy will be done. And I remember saying it, you know, thy will be done and thy will be done. and sang it over and over again. And then I remember during a just an awful episode that lasted 36 hours with a great deal of pain in the hospital, where I was saying it, and I went from saying the words to the words being totally real to me. I had finally made the connection between, you know, my life and what Thy Will Be Done really meant at that point, which was, I'm either going to get better or I'm going to die, but the state that I was in was not going to continue forever. And it became, you know, very liberating for me to say, okay, God, you know, it doesn't really matter which way this goes. What really matters is that I accept your will entirely. Oh. And that was mm-hmm. when I really got a great deal of relief. And those words, of course, you know, are in the Lord's Prayer, and they were brought to me from Jesus through Brother Paul when I was in the hospital, and it helped me, you know, tremendously.
Oh boy, Chris, your story is so inspirational. I'm tears are coming to my eyes as you're talking here. This is like this is very, you know, I want you to know I'm a Marine too. You know, I'm an ex-Marine, but I still cry. But tears are coming to my eyes as you're talking, and the acceptance of God's will, only because you accepted God as your friend and your savior, and I guess the rest is history. And it's probably one of the greatest love stories ever told, and I'm convinced of that. It's so inspirational. I'm sorry for interrupting, but I just had to give my opinion and let you know you're bringing tears to my eyes. So continue.
Thank you. But you know, I think that one of the important things that I try and let people know is through my healing, my spiritual healing, is that I haven't been physically healed, and you know, I'm still disabled, and I have a lot of pain. You know, Brother Paul can speak to it. I'm paralyzed on my right side and my hand and leg, and but you know, and sometimes people who don't have faith or don't understand why I'm joyful ask me if I'm angry or if I get angry about my situation, and the answer is no. You know, I'm very, very thankful every minute. I don't harbor resentment or anything like that. And you know, in some physical ways, I'm half the man I used to be physically. You know, and I don't make any of the money I used to make before I got sick. You know, I can't pick up a pen or a pencil and write or draw with my right hand. You know, I can't pick up a ball and have catch with my son Harry or play the guitar or the piano anymore. And you know, walking for me is difficult to say the least. But I think that the real important thing about my healing is that if God came down right now and stood in front of me and gave me a choice to take away, you know, the illness I have and continue on the path that I was on, or for me to accept the illness and the pain, the financial difficulties, and the physical limitations, and have the relationship with God that I've been blessed with, you know, I would choose the latter. You know, I would want this life. You know, I wouldn't want to go back.
All right, Chris.
Because it's just come with so many great blessings, and And no amount of money and no amount of any professional accolades can compare to having, you know, a very real relationship with Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. And I think you're talking about redemption suffering and accepting whatever Jesus has in store for you, knowing that it's redeeming so many other souls plus yourself.
I want to interject here because Chris kind of glossed over it, but I'm not going to allow that. And that is to say that Chris is a very, very talented artist. I mean, an extraordinarily talented artist. And one of the things that he had to suffer through was the loss of being able to paint. And, we don't have enough time.
No,
unfortunately. Talk about the second part of the story. But the second part of the story is as extraordinary as the first part.
So he's got to come back.
And so we need to get him back.
Yeah, but Chris, promise you're going to come back.
Oh, I absolutely would.
Oh, Chris. Oh, that's so beautiful.
Well, we'll talk about his artistic capabilities on the next, when we have him the next show.
Oh, absolutely.
And believe me, it's not just about his enjoyment, but about how God has used his artistic ability in saving souls. It's quite extraordinary.
Oh, that's okay.
Did you want to talk about the saint today?
Yes, I did. I'm running a little out of time, but yes, I do. I'll say very quickly. I wanted to give a little excerpt from the readings tomorrow, because I think it has to do with what Chris is talking about. So, like Joshua in the first reading of John, John makes the mistake of presuming that only a select few are inspired and entrusted to carry out God's plans. The Spirit blows where it wills, which is mentioned in John 3:8, and God desires to bestow his Spirit on all the people of God in every nation under heaven, in the heavens and the earth. God can and will work mighty deeds through the most unexpected and unlikely people. And so I believe, Chris, that God is using you to redeem people and to bring people into heaven. And I'm so touched by it. But I just have to say that. So I'm sorry for taking the time. But I did want to talk about the newly canonized saint, the only and first saint ever canonized in these United States. And it's Junipero Serra, which was canonized on September 23rd, 2015, which was on my wedding and my wife's wedding anniversary. So we were so thrilled on that occasion. But let me tell you a little bit about Junipero Serra. He's a missionary saint. He was born November 24th. He died August 28th in 1784, born in 1713. He was born in Spain. But he, synopsis says that he spent his early career as a Franciscan educator in Spain. He was in his 30s when he heeded the call to become a missionary. First, he worked to spread the word of God in Mexico in the 1750s and 60s before moving to present-day California. He is called the father of California, or the founder of California. He established 9 missions there from 1769 to 1782. He died in 1784. He was beatified in 1988 by Pope John Paul II. And again, he was canonized on September 23rd by Pope Francis. He was born on a Spanish island, and he came from a humble beginnings of his parents, Antonio and Margarita, were their names. He was educated by Franciscan monks at a local primary school, and he was only 15 years old when he decided to join the priesthood. He moved to to Parma to pursue his gold. He became a novice at the convent, and he continued to evangelize and to try to spread the word. Experts estimated it was sometime between 1737 and 1739 that he devoted most of his time to teaching. In 1742, he earned his doctorate in theology. He was a missionary. He went to Mexico. And from Mexico, he went to California. And from California, in California, he started his conversion process to converting people through missions in California. And on August 28, 1784, he died at the age of 70 at the Mission of San Carlos, one of the missions that he had founded. He was buried in the floor there, according to Franciscan friars. And his first nine missions were home to more than 4,600 converted Native Americans and more than 6,700 Native Americans in California. He's known all throughout California as the founder of California. The Catholic religion in California is credited to his efforts. And beginning in the 1940s, the movement began to have him canonized. And Pope John Paul II beatified him in 1988, giving him the title of blessed. In 2015, Pope Francis, as we said, canonized him as the first saint ever canonized in the United States. But the other issue is that his canonization is not without some problems, because there are some people that felt that he used extraordinary means in order to convert people to the Catholic religion. So there is some discrepancy on the feeling about using these extraordinary means, but I don't know too much about him, and I just turned that out in my research. But anyway, he is Saint Junipero Serra as of September 23rd, the first saint ever canonized in these United States. And so that's the short story of it. I didn't want to take too much time because we're running very much out of time. So, Paul, do you have any a quick prayer to say for our listeners and also for John Palmer before we do sign off?
Sure. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, you said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you. So I bring the petitions of those within the listening of this radio program to your most sacred heart. I ask that you bless them and heal them in body, mind, and soul according to your will. I ask you to be moved by these petitions as you're moved by the tears of Martha and Mary and their beloved brother Lazarus. As you're moved by mother's request at the marriage ceremony at Cana. As you're moved by the faith of the Samaritan woman who believes she'd be healed by touching the tassel of your cloak. I thank you, Lord, for many times when you've intervened in the past, especially on behalf of those that are with us today. And I look forward to peace, hope, and joy to future coming for the conversion of souls. Jesus, I trust in you. In the name of the Father, Son,
Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Chris, would you like to say a quick prayer to our petitions? We have a bag full of petitions here and to our listeners.
Oh, I would love to just ask for prayers for my nephew, Jack, and for his parents, Mark and Megan. And all of your listeners, I want to thank you, Tony, for having me on, and Brother Paul. And I'd be happy to come back.
Please do.
If they'd like to hear more of my story, your listeners,
they absolutely will. Trevor's giving me the high sign. We gotta leave. Okay, listeners, we love you. Thank you very much, Chris. We love you, and please come back. And Brother Paul, you're the best. We love you dearly, and we'll see you Tuesday night in Garden City. Thank you, everyone. God bless you.
Thank you.
And keep listening.
Necessarily represent those of the staff.